On the phone with us is Michael McGill Jr. And there's an article in today's Kansas City Star about an incident that you say happened with Kansas City with airport police at KCI. Talk to us about what happened.
So I was being dropped off at KCI at about 7:30 in the morning, heading to teach at a conference internationally. And we were in the middle lane, you know, and it was raining. It was dark outside. And as I was getting dropped off, the police kind of honked. As you know, sometimes they do, they tell you to keep it moving, right. Do whatever. And so we're like, okay, cool. We got into the right-hand lane where I was getting dropped off. The officer still followed us. And so a part of my mother's car, her two front tires were actually in front of the bus zone, and the rest were in the regular passenger drop-off zone. And he wouldn't back up to let us, you know, back up some. So when I got out of the car to get my belongings, he turned his lights on. I went over to him and said, hey, you know, I'm getting dropped off. I have my one bag, and then I'm getting out of the car. And if you want, you can just back up some, you know, and then let us go, and then we'll be fine. We'll be good to go. And he was like, no, you need to move. So I said, are you sure? I mean, if you just back the car up some, I mean, I'm literally calm. It was 7:30 in the morning. I do work with police. I'm a counselor. I'm an educator. So I really wasn't high strung. Don't really get emotional. And then all of a sudden, things just kind of went haywire. He got out of the car, you know, said, sir, you know, you need to get against the wall right now. Move over. Get out of the way. You know, begin to touch his weapon. My mother got out of the car and said, you know, what's going on? And it just escalated from there.
Oh, my goodness.
And so it was heavy. I mean, even when I began to speak and said, hey, you know, can you tell me what's going on? What's the problem? I'm just being dropped off for a conference. I have to get my luggage so I can go. You know, he began to say, what did I tell you? Didn't I say keep your mouth closed? You know, get against the wall. Then he touched his weapon and I'm locked it for the second time. And so my thing is, you know, what's happening? I said, man, I'm an educator. You know, I'm a counselor. I'm here to work with you. What is going on? And my mother is saying, you know, what is going on? Why are you doing all this? And he goes, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you work for the president. Get up against the wall. You know, things like that. And my mother instantly, when I could just see some of the fear and the frustration and the agony in her eyes, where she literally came from the front of the car and ran to the back of the car to put her hands over my mouth as if I was doing something, you know, wrong, but in a level of protecting me from me saying something that could give me harm from an officer. It's like, why does me asking questions equate to me being disrespectful or defiant or resistant? I want to know what's going on. You will not let me leave and get my belongings. You need to tell me why.
What was your course of action after all this happened? Did you go to, you know, the real police? Did you file a complaint or anything?
So it's twofold. Number one, people, you know, even on social media said, hey, you know, they're just rent-a-cops, blah, blah, blah. Well, these are actually real arresting officers with real arresting authority and power. They are governed by the city of Kansas City, right? Or the aviation department. Aside from the KCPD, who's governed by the police board. And so while this was happening, you know, I called 911 because I couldn't. And people go, well, did you get it on videotape? Well, there are cameras everywhere, including his car and the airport. And so you don't really think about some of that in the moment when you have fear going through your mind and your heart. And so I did call 911 because I wanted the exchange to be, number one, recorded, but also I wanted to get a watch commander or a sergeant out there. So part of it was recorded via 911. And then as I was trying to, you know, get my luggage and things like that and check in, I was on the phone with the sergeant explaining what occurred, explaining my experience about it, just the grove misconduct, the vile disrespect and just the complete diminishing and dishonoring of me as a man. I mean, to have people, particularly white folks, walk by with such pity and grave disdain, it was horrible. And things have got to change. This is how that 15-year-old was shot in Dallas. This is how Tamir Rice was shot. This hypersensitivity, hyperaggression, and it's out of order.
What would be an acceptable resolution for you today on this?
You know, I'm honestly not sure because it's the fact that it's caused me emotional pain. I mean, to think about this and the fact that this happens every day to black brothers who sometimes stories are not even told. So some type of training is definitely important. Some type of a public apology that says that this was not okay. And then a solution and a strategic action plan on what they are doing. It's not our job to fix it, but what they are doing to say, you know what? Here are things we're doing regularly. What type of counseling do officers have to go through? What type of evaluations do they regularly have to go through so that they can't, you know, say PTSD and all these things are giving them the rule to mistreat people, especially people of color.
Thank you so much for calling up this morning, and please keep us informed about how this works out for you, okay?
Thank you.
I will do that. Thank you for reaching out. You all have a great day and be encouraged.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.